Money FM 89.3, best of prime time.
This is Prime Time on Money FM 89.3, and in this weekly segment, we speak to BBC journalists about the international stories they're tracking in the week ahead. We're joined today by senior journalist and presenter Rich Preston. Rich, my good man, how are you?
I'm very well, thanks, Harry. How are you doing?
I'm fine too. Thanks for asking. So this week, though, Rich, the World Economic Forum gets underway. It's normally held in Davos. This year, it's being held virtually. What's up for discussion and why is it important?
Well, Harry, it's important because it's a gathering of some of the world's top business people and politicians with the aim of improving the world. Now, lots of eye rolling every year at Davos because the price tag to go there is tens of thousands of dollars, and it's seen as a way of big business driving big business. It does, however, feature speeches and addresses by high-powered people. President Xi Jinping of China will be opening events today. There are also people like the U.S. infectious diseases experts Anthony Fauci speaking. And as well as the big addresses and big announcements, of course, on the side are opportunities for quiet meetings, discreet discussion, and that's what often prompts some of the eye rolling. But this year, the focus, as you'd imagine, is the global response to COVID-19. And when economies have nosedived around the world as a result of the pandemic, many will see this year as more important than ever.
Anything in particular you're watching out for? I've heard Chinese media are talking about a lot Xi Jinping's address because he did the last time in 2017, I believe.
Yes, that's right. And I think one of the things that's going to be interesting this year is, you know, we talked about big business meetings, kind of big, powerful discussions. But I think there's an acute sense of responsibility on the shoulders of wealthier countries and big businesses in the wake of the pandemic over how much they should be doing to support developing nations, smaller countries, poorer countries, you know, when it comes to things like buying vaccine stocks, protective equipment, etc. I mean, there are initiatives to support poorer countries like COVAX, the World Health Organization program, but the themes for this year's World Economic Forum focus a lot around cohesion, shared responsibility and cooperation. So at the end of the week, as well as deals individual countries make, we are going to be watching to see if there's any kind of announcements around joint working and any pledges that wealthier countries make to support their less well-off neighbours. And incidentally, Howard, you mentioned it's being held virtually this year. The physical meetings have been rescheduled to May in Singapore.
We're looking forward to that. Hopefully more comes out of it than, say, a virtual meeting or any other meetings that have come from before. Let's go to India now, though, Rich. It celebrates Republic Day on Tuesday, marking the anniversary of the country's constitution becoming adopted and now being considered fully independent from British colonial rule. But this year's events are going to be marred by mass demonstrations. Why is that?
Yeah, I mean, of course, COVID was always going to put a dampener on any celebrations, but there's been a rise in tension, Harry, in India between the government and farmers. This has been going on for weeks and weeks, demonstrations and protests across the country. But the farmers say this week, tomorrow, Republic Day, is going to be their big day of action, including a tractor rally in the middle of the Republic Day parade in the capital, Delhi. Now, this is all over a new law that the government brought in, which changes the way farmers are paid for their produce. Previously, farmers went to government-controlled markets and had guaranteed prices. The government has relaxed those rules, which it says creates opportunities for farmers by opening the market to corporate players. But farmers say they're going to lose out, prices are going to drop, and it's going to diminish their income. Talks have been being held between the government and farmers, but they keep grinding to a halt.
How big a deal is this for the Indian government that they've actually started talking?
Well, it's significant they've started talking, but arguably it's more significant those talks have not got anywhere. And the reason this is so important, Harry, is that when you talk about farming in India, you're talking about more than half of the population. More than half of Indians work on farms. So this is important for a lot of people in the country. And Prime Minister Narendra Modi had previously promised he would double farmers' incomes by 2022. But actually, the rate of growth has been slowing, and data shows that more farmers are going into debt. The problem is, Harry, that as much as more than half of the Indian population work on farms, it actually only contributes 6% of the GDP. So something's gone awry there, and this industry does need reform. I think everyone probably agrees on that one. The question is how to do it, and the farmers are not happy with the law that's been suggested.
Rich, let's talk about the first full week of a new president in the US. What's Joe Biden expected to be doing this week then?
Well, he's going to be focusing on a single issue each day. Now, I'm sure you saw the highlights of the inauguration. If not, you know, were glued to it throughout yourself. The messages in the inauguration were around unity, and as much as it was an address for the American people, it was also an address for audiences around the world. This week, it's very much Joe Biden talking to people within America itself. The themes he's chosen are specifically focused on points of contention amongst American people, including some that were big topics for his predecessor, President Trump. So today's theme is Buy American, tomorrow is equity, Wednesday is climate, Thursday and Friday are healthcare and immigration, so big topics. President Biden's, of course, made several big announcements like rejoining the World Health Organization and the Paris Climate Deal, but it is going to be interesting, the announcements that he makes around these topics concerning America this week.
Rich, you bring up former President Donald Trump in the U.S. this week, the next step in impeachment proceedings against him. What do we know?
Yeah, this is, of course, following those riots that broke out when the Capitol was stormed on the 6th of January. Donald Trump impeached and charged with inciting that behavior. Now, tonight in the U.S., so early tomorrow morning, your time, House representatives are going to be delivering the article of impeachment against Donald Trump to the U.S. Senate. Then later on in the week, what are known as impeachment managers will be sworn in. Now, they are lawmakers from the House who act as prosecutors during the Senate trial. There had been calls for the trial itself to begin this week, but many said that was unfair, didn't give Donald Trump and his legal team a chance to prepare a proper defense. So that's not going to happen until the 8th of February, but that break is important because it gives the Senate crucial time to get to some important business like confirming President Trump's cabinet nominees and considering a COVID-19 relief bill. Congress has already authorized $4 trillion to respond to the coronavirus pandemic. The White House says another $1.9 trillion is needed, so that needs some attention because, of course, while all this has been going on, the new president being sworn in, COVID is still hitting America hard. It's now recorded more than 25 million cases and over 410,000 deaths, Harry.
Rich, always a pleasure. Thanks for your insights.
Good to talk to you.
Senior journalist and presenter Rich Preston from the BBC. This is Money FM 89.3.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.